Now, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I got 4 points today, okay? Not three, but four. And I also want you to turn to Mark chapter 5. We're in this series, if you haven't been here, on the Gospel of Mark, and we've been going a chapter at a time, and I've just been taking a passage out of each chapter, and these are standalone messages, so if you haven't been here, that's okay. You're not going to miss anything, but you can actually go back online or at our website, hfchurch.com, and see the podcast from the last weeks. And so here's the title of this message today is Miracles in Motion. So I want you to look at somebody and say, miracles are in motion for you. Miracles are in motion for you. Now I want you to turn to two chapters. I always like you to turn, or if you have your smartphones or whatever, your iPhones, your iPads, whatever you use, but we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and Mark chapter 5. Today, and we're going to look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I wanted to share this scripture first, and I'm going to share it out of the Message translation just because I like the Message translation, by the way, is a good reading Bible to read, and I just love how it puts this in Isaiah 55. And so let's read this. And I've got all the scriptures, even if you didn't bring your Bible, I've got it all up here on the PowerPoint. So Isaiah 55 says, seek God while he's here to be found, pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that's lavish with forgiveness? Doesn't hold anything against us. My dad came up to me right after worship and said, you know, Mark, he says, I just feel like there's a spirit of condemnation in here. Do you know what? There is no condemnation or guilt in Christ Jesus. Amen. God is lavish with forgiveness. He loves us. And then I love this second part of this passage says, this is where it says God decreed. I didn't put that in there, but this is God himself speaking where it's got the quotation. Says, I don't think the way you think. How many of you ever tried to outthink God? Yeah, you can't do it. He says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the skies soar high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. So you'll go out in joy. And this is why he says, this is why I think higher than you think. And I work in ways that you don't understand. And this is the reason why. In verse 12 it says, so you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into a whole and complete life. Who wants to be whole and complete? Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. Well, you've got to trust God. Look at somebody and say, you need to trust God. Quit trying to figure him out. Quit trying to figure out how he works. Just trust him. He's working a miracle. A miracle is in motion for you today. All right? So, and then the first part of this passage in Isaiah 55 is just talking about seek God while he may be found. All right? I'll go back. Seek God while he's here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who's lavish with forgiveness. I just want to tell you today and remind all of us, today is the day of salvation. I'm going to be talking about miracles today, but the greatest miracle that can happen to anybody in their life is the gift of salvation. Yes. That the Holy Spirit called you, you heard the Holy Spirit, and you responded. Yes. By accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the other thing is the way God thinks and the way God works is the second part of this passage, and he's reminding us that he is God and we are not. That's a revelation some of us need. He's God and you're not. Amen. And he's got a better view and perspective than you have of your life. Here this last week, this is probably not a really good illustration, but I'm going to use it anyway. But I like to deer hunt. I like to bow hunt. How many bow hunters are in here? Okay. How many got your feeders out and your stands up? I know Jacoby does. He's already ready. I'm working on that this weekend. That's what I'm doing over Labor Day weekend. And so a week ago, I asked my brother, and I got this place to hunt, and I asked Matt. I said, Matt, will you come with me and kind of scope it out with me and help me? And so he said, yeah, I'll go with you. So we drove out in the country one morning and out west of Leedy here, and we were checking this place out. And I was asking him, I said, where would you set up, you know, your blind at and all this? And we were talking about, you know, the north winds, the south winds, the east winds, the west, you know, we were just getting all into it. We're like, it's like a hunting show in the cab of the pickup with Matt and I. And he goes, well, we're going to find out real quick where you need to put your stand at? I was like, really, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I brought my drone. My brother's got a drone. He's also, by the way, you have to have a license, too, to fly a drone. So he's got his license and everything. He uses it in real estate and stuff. So we're out on this location, and Matt sets out this, like, target, like, landing pad for his drone, puts his drone on it, got his little controller out, and sends it up. You know, this thing goes up about 1,000 feet in the air, and he just, and it just takes off. And I'm watching it till it goes plumb out of sight. And this place where I've got access to hunt is 285 acres, and we looked at all of it in less than a minute. And Matt was pinpointing the spots of where I needed to put my stand at. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And I was like, can you hunt with that thing? You know, that's not legal, by the way. Okay, but forget that. We need to get that off of the, that I even said that. But anyway, that was my, whenever, and I was thinking about that when Matt was flying that drone. I was like, man, that's God's ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And so he can see things that you cannot see. And you just got to trust him. And God wants you to have joy and a whole, complete life. And to do that, you're going to have to trust him. And so I wanted to read this passage of Scripture to go into this passage in Mark chapter 5. Because in Mark chapter 5, we're going to see some theologians call it the Mark sandwich. I like that. I about titled this the Mark sandwich. But it's two miracles that are happening simultaneously. There's miracles in motion, and that's where I got my title from. Miracles are in motion. So we're going to look at this. And this is the first. So you understand when we go into this passage, this Jesus has been healing people. He's been casting out demons. But this is the first time that he raises somebody from the dead. He raises a little girl that's 12 years old from the dead, okay? And so let's get into Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And we're going to read down through verse 43. It says, Jesus heals a woman and Jairus' daughter. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. She's sick and she's at the point of death. It says, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. One translation said she'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body, whoops, I'll get with you here in a second. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Everybody say, told him the whole truth. There's a reason for that here in just a second. Verse 34 says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So not only did she get healed, but one translation said, your faith has made you whole. She got saved too, okay? That's the Greek word sozo, which means she got saved. So she got healed and saved. And while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Verse 36, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Somebody needs to hear that today. Verse 36, and I want you to highlight that in your Bible. Do not fear, only believe. That's a word for somebody today. Do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father. One translation says he ignored them, put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, And here's the deal. He didn't shout this. He just said, Talitha Kumi, and which is Aramaic, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. Basically, it was basically the redneck translation is, honey, get up. Honey, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Isn't God good? He healed a lady with an issue of blood, and he raised a little girl from the dead. And there's four principles about miracles that I want to share with you today, and this is a good place to be taking notes, all right? So here's number one. God's answers almost never come according to our schedule. All right, they never happen. You know, I'm like you guys. We live in a microwave society. I want a God that I can microwave. And what I've realized, God's not even in the crock pot. He's slow cooking outside, you know, in the ground somewhere, you know. And we live in a society, you know, and I'm like this. We want miracles on demand. I want the Amazon Prime version. Pray, and in 2 days, it's on the front porch. Amen? That's the kind. Or better yet, I want the Netflix version. No commercials. I can watch as many episodes as I want, and it's all right there. By the way, talking about Netflix, I'll tell you a good series to watch is Longmire, all right? I'm stuck on Longmire. He's a sheriff, cowboy sheriff from Durant, Wyoming. You need to watch it. And I've been watching, I don't know how many episodes in the evenings. I'll be watching an episode, and I'll tell Jay, I was like, okay, we can't go to bed on that one. We got to watch one more, you know. And it's a really good series. Okay, that's okay. So there's my Netflix plug for the day. But we live in that society, and we take it, you know, our society's now, drive-through, you know, touch and go, just everything. And God don't work that way. And God doesn't, he's not on our schedule like that. And so here's what I want to tell you, and if you're taking notes, write this down, post or tweet it so people know that you're in church. And it says, this is the quote, the spirit of immediacy and urgency is the enemy to divine opportunity. I want to say that again. The spirit of immediacy and urgency is the enemy to divine opportunity. I mean, you can get ahead of God and miss out on a whole lot. Some of us need to learn how to wait. Amen? Like Jairus, he was waiting. What Jairus learned that day was this. He learned that God will not be rushed. All right? Now, we're going to get into this story for a little bit. I want you to think, let's call him Jay. Can we do that, Jay? All right, redneck Jay. Jairus, that's just too much to say, okay? So we're going to call him Jay. God will not be rushed. This whole time, he's the one that's asked Jesus to come to his house. Jesus is on his way to his house because his daughter's dying, and this woman with an issue of blood interrupts him. And I'm telling you, Jay is sitting there going, Jesus, okay, hurry up, healer, you healed her. All right, let's go. We got to get to my house. He's having to wait on Jesus. And as I was studying this, and I want you to get in this story with me. To us, the most important issue at hand is the little girl. Right? Okay? She's about to die. All right, this lady has come up with the issue of blood. She's had it for 12 years, okay? She can have it for another day until Jesus can get. That's the way I'm thinking. And that's the way Jay's thinking. Jairus is thinking there too. And what I want to tell us that we can extract from this some wisdom about God is, there's going to be delays, there's going to be interruptions, there's going to be obstacles, and there's going to be adversity in receiving your miracle. Jay's learning that. Jairus is learning that. In verse 33, this is the reason why I said, remember when I told you she told him the whole truth? All right, I don't want this to sound sexist, okay, today, but women talk more than men. Amen. So she didn't give him the headline answers. She told him about every doctor she had been to and what she had been suffering. Linda's like, ugh. You know, that's what Jay was doing. Oh, my gosh. She's telling him the whole 12-year story of her ailment. How many of you have been around somebody that's all they talk about is their ailments? Okay, this is that lady, all right? And she's telling him 12-year version of it, the 12-year version of her ailments. And Jay's over there going, oh my gosh, hurry up. So she, that's the version. She told him the whole truth, all right? She told him everything. She's sitting there. I'm telling you, this wasn't like a little quick healing. They were standing there in this crowd for quite a while with this lady telling her everything that was going on. And what I want to tell us about this is God's delays are not his denials. Delays are by divine design a lot of time. There was something that the Lord, that God was working out in Jay's life, in Jairus' life. And I'm just going to tell you a few other stories in Scripture. Abraham with Isaac, when Abraham was promised about Isaac, Isaac didn't show up until 25 more years later. Wow. Mary and Martha with Lazarus in John chapter 11, they had to wait 4 days for Jesus showed up. And even though they had called for him, you know, our brother's sick, and Jesus waited 4 days, like, God, you're not on our schedule. And then the reason why the scripture says 4 days, because in Jewish tradition, by the fourth day, you're dead. You know, they thought that their teaching was the spirit doesn't leave the body until after the third day. Well, that's not right. We all know that. As soon as the spirit leaves the body, you're in the presence of God. And so that, you know, day one, you're dead. Day two, you're dead. Day three, you're dead. Day four, you're dead, 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 dead. Okay, everybody got it? All right, that's why he waited the 4 days. He wanted them to know that he's gone. And even, you know, remember Martha, she even said, Lord, by now he stinks, you know. And he still raised him from the dead. So God's delays are not his denials. Delays are by divine design. All right, here's the second principle. When you go to Jesus, you will give him and receive from him more than expected. Now, we all want to get more, right? It's always get more. We want to pray and get more from Jesus. But you're also going to give more than what you expected to. And I'm going to show you this. The woman in this story, she went for healing, but she received salvation. She received more. And she had to give. Because if you don't understand, when a woman had an issue of blood, she was declared unclean, so she wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd that day. She snuck in there somehow, some way. She wasn't even allowed in Old Testament culture. She wasn't even allowed to worship. She had to stay home. She was unclean. And so this woman, she was giving more. She was sacrificing, but she also received more from Jesus. And here's the thing about this woman. She wanted a touch-and-go healing that nobody knew about. She's just like, man, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. And we all, you know the story. She touched his garment. She got healed. But then Jesus was like, who touched me? And Jesus made her healing public, brought her right out into the open. Aha, caught you red-handed. You're supposed to be at home. And here's what I want to share with you guys, and this is worthy of a post and tweet. I love it when you post and tweet. By the way, after church, I go and I was like, who posted and tweeted? They didn't post and tweet. You know, post and tweet this. This is a good one. Well, and because I often thought, Jesus, why didn't you just quietly just say, honey, you know, I felt your touch. You know, your faith has made you whole, and I just, you know, go on about your business. Why did you make it public and call her out in the open and embarrass her, and then she had to come and tell you everything? And this is the reason why. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. Jesus doesn't want to be treated like a rabbit's foot. He desires a relationship. And a lot of us in our walks with God, we have to admit, I've done it, we treat him like a rabbit's foot. Come on, Jesus, come through. And Jesus is like, no, we're going to take a little bit more time because I want to get to know you. Jesus is all about relationship. Look at somebody and say, he's all about relationship. And then Jairus, when we go to Jesus, you'll give him and receive from him more than expected. When he came to Jesus, he was just wanting to come heal his daughter. Now his daughter has passed away. And in verse 36, this man is struggling. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. In verse 36, he says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what the servant had came and told the ruler of the synagogue, from this house said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And it says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. So here we go. Jairus is wrestling with those thoughts, man. If Jesus would have been there, just like Mary and Martha, if he'd have been there just moments ago, if this woman wouldn't have interrupted us, well, I'd have my healing today. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid, only believe. So he's having to give more in his faith than he thought he was going to have to. All right, here's number three. Everybody getting something today? All right, number three is God's grace inverts the world's values. And I'm just going to share just a few of these insights from this story to so you'll understand God's grace. Like my dad said this morning, the spirit of condemnation, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is no guilt. That all comes from the enemy's camp. God loves us all. And in this story, God's grace is inverted from the world's values. Here's one for you. There was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years, and the girl was 12 years old. Jairus is a man. She's a woman. And you have to understand this. In the Jewish culture, in the Old Testament time, women were just thought of as property. And it was sad the way they were treated. Jesus was the one that put women on the planet and gave them their ministries and their roles and everything. And so Jesus in this situation is actually spending more time with the woman than he is with the man. Jairus is a man. She's a woman. He's important in society. She was less important. He's socially accepted. She's a social outcast because she had the issue of blood. This man was the leader of the synagogue, which means he leads worship. And she is not even allowed to come in the church building because of her issue of blood. He's wealthy. She's poor. Man, God's good. God's grace is so good. And God and Jesus was spending time with her and listening to her whole story and healing her and saving her. You know, it's just in the kingdom of God, Mark teaches us also about the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is reversed from the world's kingdom. We have to give to receive. We have to die to live. We have to, the last is first. We have to lead by serving, not by lording it over people, but by serving. God's grace is awesome, guys. Look at somebody and say, I'm thankful for God's grace. I am so thankful for God's grace. Here's number four. Here's the last one. God is more powerful and more personal than you can ever imagine. He's more powerful and more, and this is what Jairus learned, and he's more personal than you can ever imagine. I'm going to read verses 35 through 43 again without turning to that. I'm going to read out the New King James Version. It says this, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house and the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And just so you understand this, in Jewish culture, there were people that were actually professional mourners that would come and help you mourn the loss of a loved one. And depending on your wealth and your status in society is how many mourners came to your house. And even if you were a poor peasant person, you got two flute players and one mourner. That's the truth. And so there was a bunch of mourners here, and they're wailing and, oh, Judd Fry's dead, oh, Judd. Mark would get that one from Oklahoma. That, oh, and they would wail like that. I can't do it. You guys are going to embarrass me. But that's the way they would wail, and it would cause just the grief is just so thick in the house that you cut it like a knife. And this is what's going on. These people were weeping and wailing loudly when Jesus shows up, and it says when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given her to eat. Now, you know, when I read that, they laughed at Jesus, they ridiculed him. But Jesus knew something that they didn't know is, and this is what he knew. Truth is greater than fact. The fact is this little girl did pass away. She was dead. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So he went in there. Truth went into that little girl's room and raised her from the dead. Truth is greater than fact. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make it personal with me because I talked about our book. Fact is, my son passed away on November the 5th of 1998. That's a fact. The truth is, I'm going to get to spend eternity with him. Truth is that verse 36, when you go back and look at verse 36, what Jairus wrestled with, do not be afraid, only believe. There's days I wrestle with that one. You know, don't fear, only believe. We got a little grandson right now, and he reminds me so much of Jaden, the way he laughs and stuff. But he's not Jaden, he's Jarek. He's got his own calling, his own destiny upon his life. But the fact is, my son did pass away, but the truth is, I'm going to get to spend eternity with him. That's God is good, guys, I'm telling you. And then in verse 43, I love this in verse 43. It says, he commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said that something should be given to her to eat. And I was like, man, God, you are so powerful and so personal that you're even concerned about that this little girl needs something to eat, you know. And as I kept pondering this about this, the fourth point, God is more powerful and more personal than you can imagine. Because I was like, you know, God, why did you shut people out? Why did you just have the mom and dad in there and then your close three, Peter, James, and John, and then just you and that little girl? And I said, why didn't you just let them all come in here and watch it? You know, like, come on in here. I'm Jesus. You know, come on. And he was like, no, I'm personal, Mark, when I do stuff. And this is why I even told him, I don't want you telling anybody, because he's personal. He said, I didn't do this for fanfare. I didn't do this because I've got another agenda. I didn't do this because there's going to be strings attached now. I did this because it's personal and because I love you. Man, God is good. That just gave me chicken skin just saying that. I hope you all felt that because I felt it up here. I mean, that is so good that God is, he is so powerful that he can raise people from the dead by just saying, honey, get up. And he's so personal that he don't want you tooting the horn about it. You know, so I just did that for you. Don't tell anybody. My dad's always joking with me, I'm God's favorite. Well, we're all God's favorite. Amen. And there's sometimes God will do stuff for you and he's just like, you know what? Don't tell anybody. All right? And I've had it happen to me. You know, God do something for you and just, be quiet, Mark. You know, I know you want to tell everybody, but don't. Because he's that kind of a personal God. And he'll do it for you because every one of us in here are God's favorite. In fact, you need to look at somebody like my dad does and say, I'm God's favorite. You need to. Some of you, and that's where the enemy likes to come in with the condemnation and the guilt and make you think that you're not God's favorite. You are God's favorite. You are God's favorite. Here's what I want to close with today and tell you this. God's delays are not his denials. There are miracles in motion in your life right now, and he is doing things in you as he's doing things for you. That's what was going on in this story. There were miracles in motion. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, who came through these doors today that needs to hear this, or is going to be watching this by Church's Aid or listening to this on the radio, but I need to tell you this. This is the word of the Lord for you today. It's not the end. It's not the end. It is not the end. And I'm going to share a story with you that really resonated with me that I heard this week that's really good about it's not the end. There was a teacher and a professional chess player that went to an art museum. And they were in there looking at all the art that was on canvas and just admiring all the art that was, and this teacher was walking around looking at all, well, the professional chess player, he actually found a piece of art that was the chess game that somebody had painted. And down at the bottom of the, and I don't know a whole lot about chess, but down at the bottom it said checkmate at the bottom of this canvas. And what that means is game over. All right, that's what checkmate means. In fact, this made me think, I'm going to take another rabbit trail here. When I was in college, I used to go play a lot of pool, and I got pretty good at pool. I have to say I did. I thought I was pretty good at it. And there was one guy I always wanted to beat, and he was a little Asian dude, all right? And this is the reason why I wanted to beat him, is because when he got down to the eight ball, he's always played, you know, the eight ball, and whenever he'd get down the eight ball, before he ever even hit the eight ball into the hole, wherever he, and this guy was one of them kind of guys that could run a whole table, all right? So, and I learned from him, watching him. But before he would sink the eight ball, he'd get down there and he'd look at you like I'm looking at Jacoby. If I was playing him, he would look at you before he did, and he'd look at the ball, and he'd put it in, and he'd go, game over. I was like, come here, you little Asian. You know, you know? But I can't remember how many times I played that guy, game over, game over. And I share that funny story because some of you are hearing that in your head from the enemy, game over, game over. And but this guy that was, get back to the story now. This guy was looking at the painting, and he told the teacher, was like, man, we need to go. You've just been sitting there looking and staring at this painting forever. And he said, well, the painting's wrong. And he said, we need to tell whoever painted this the painting's wrong. And he said, why? He said, because when you look at the painting, the king still has one more move. Oh, I just got chicken skin right there. And I'm here to tell you today, the king, Jesus, still has one more move in your life. The game is not over. The miracle is in motion. Look at somebody, say, miracles are in motion. Amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And we started off talking about salvation in Isaiah chapter 55. And so the Bible says, you know, Isaiah 55 says, seek God while he may be found. Well, today is the day of salvation. And I just want to encourage you, maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know, it's not about being a part of a church or on church membership role. All those things are good. You need to attend church and all that, but it's about relationship. You need to have done what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever, and we're all whosoever's, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. Does it say about getting your act cleaned up and all this kind of stuff and all that? It just says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation, leading you in that prayer of confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and helping you to call upon the name of the Lord. So even if you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. I want, give the Lord a hand clap. Yes, amen, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. If you need special prayer, I'll stick around. Jade and I will be here to do that if you want to. But I'm going to go ahead and dismiss. But we dismiss with a blessing. And so I'm going to speak this blessing over you, Jada. Will you come up here with me, babe? And then Jade and I are going to go back here at the back and see you guys. Hug your neck before you leave today. But I want to, this blessing is kind of a lengthened version of the blessing that God told Moses to speak over the children of Israel. It's out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And when God called me to be a pastor, he said, Mark, when you close a service, I want you to speak this over my people. Because this is me. In the Old Testament, when you study this out, it's actually God. He's saying, I'm putting my blessings on people. Amen. And so God's putting his blessing on you today, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, miracles are in motion.
Miracles are in motion.
See.
Have you been praying and you still have no answers?